Today I was going to talk to you about giving thanks to God. You know, a lot of people are in church today, and they're in church because they feel they are commanded to be here. They have to be here, no matter how they feel about it, they have to be here. And just a personal question to everybody here, just to think about, are you here because you feel you have to be? Is that the only reason you're here? Or you feel because you're here to worship the Lord, because you want to be here? And you want to sing praises to his name and thank him for everything he's done for us. That's what we're here today for. And that's, you know, that's something that we should be doing every day, giving thanks to God. And that was an appropriate song, Count Your Many Blessings, see what God has done. Because sometimes we don't do that. And we sit there and we wonder, where is God? I'm having all these troubles, where is he? Well, just count your blessings. That's all you got to do. And you'll see that God's always been with us in the first place. Giving God thanks. You know, in Psalms chapter 107, in verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's what the psalmist says here. And the book of Psalms is wonderful when it comes down to reading about giving thanks to God. And we who are redeemed, those of us in here who are baptized members, should thank God daily for his love and his mercy. In Psalms 111. It says, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. For the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." You know, and the great thing about God, when it comes down to that, even when we're not mindful of his covenant, he's mindful of it. You know, when we go astray, when we do things wrong, he's still mindful of his part. He's mindful of his promise to us. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Sometimes when we're down and we're low, he's still there. But like I was saying earlier, unless you're counting your blessings, you don't always see that. And, you know, people who aren't Christians, people who aren't looking at God's word the right way or who not have the right heart may not see that. But those who are Christians do. And it says, here it says, in those that are talking about study by all who have pleasure in them. I have pleasure in the scriptures because the scriptures tell me everything I need to know, and it also tells me about God's love for us. In Psalms 136, giving thanks to God for his enduring mercy, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever." God done all these wonderful things. All we have to do is look back in God's book at Genesis chapter 1. And we see that everything that the psalmist was talking about was true. And it says, in the beginning, God. And that's one thing that we need to remember. In the beginning, God. No Big Bang, no this or that. In the beginning, God. God was there before anything was there. Created heavens and the earth. And that's the one thing that we should understand. God did. God created us. God created everything that we see, everything that you look at around you. God created all that. And he talks about creating the lights in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis. And it goes through all of the different things that God created until we get to verse, and then we get to verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. See, God made us special. See, what he did was when we read about how God created the earth and everything else he did, he put us in last. He made sure that everything that we would ever need would be there, and then he put us there. We are special. He made us special. He put us in a special place. He gave us dominion over the earth and everything that's in it. And we should praise him for that. We should thank him for that. You know, we could have just been another animal. But he gave us choice. He didn't make us love him. He gave us the choice to love him. You know, a lot of different creatures on this earth don't have that choice, but we have it. And we should give God thanks for that. You know, and if we love him the way we should, our destiny should be with God. I thank him for giving us everything that he's given us. And I also thank him for giving us his word, the Bible. And I'm only saying this for reference because I know everybody's heard this many times before. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, at verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave us this book for a reason, and he gave us this book out of love. And I know I've said this before, but he gives us this out of love. He lets us understand what he wants and what he doesn't want. He lets us understand what happens to people when they do good and when they don't do good. This is a book out of love that he has given to us. You know, I wouldn't have known that stealing was wrong if I didn't know about it in the Bible. I didn't know the many different ways that I could hurt people with the things that I was doing before I became a Christian until I started reading the Bible. I didn't understand the things that God would like, the love, the compassion, and all the things that we're supposed to show every creature on this earth until I read the Bible. You know, when Jesus was confronted by Satan, what did he use? He used God's word. When the Pharisees came up against him, what did he use? He used God's word. When teaching, what did Jesus teach? He taught God's word. When we face evil, hopefully we're facing it using God's word. So I thank God so much for giving us his word and showing us the right path, because this book does show us the right path. And Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13, he says, enter by the narrow way. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. See, every time I see a huge crowd of people doing something, it makes me want to, I learn to think before I decide to join that crowd. Because sometimes a big crowd might not be doing the right thing, and some people gravitate towards a big crowd just because they think they are. There's a lot of congregations out here that have hundreds or even thousands of members. And they'll look at a crowd like this and say, I can't go to your congregation. You guys don't worship the Lord because, look, there's not that many people. But if you worship in the Lord right, maybe that's why there's not that many people. You know, some people go to church and they have these ideas about worshiping the Lord and getting up and hooping and hollering and instruments and all these other things. And the preacher has to sit there for hours and hours. And they say, you guys don't do that. I've had that told to me. So you ain't worshiping the Lord. But I was just getting at was that, you know, sometimes following the crowd isn't a good deal. You know, there's all kinds of protesting going on right now. And a lot of young people don't even know what they're protesting about, but they're out there anyway. Why? Because everybody else is out there, so it must be the right thing to do. But that's not always the way. Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there be few who find it. I thank God that he gave us this book, gave us this map, so that we could stay on the right road. Even though it's small, even though it can be hard for some people to see, we're still on it. And I thank God so much for giving us that. I'm going to turn back to Psalms 107. And this time I'm going to start reading around verse 10. It says, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. And there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains to pieces, in pieces. And it goes, says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. You know, before I became a Christian, and I'm not going to say I didn't know about God, but I didn't know about him the way I should. You know, I went through all kinds of, you say, hell in my life. And, you know, I got to the point at one time where I thought, what more can I do? Just sitting there like a prisoner, like it says, bound in affliction. And then I called on the Lord. And he helped me. Not a child of God as of yet, but he helped me anyway. That's the love of God. And I became a Christian. Let's drop down to verse 17, though. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gate of hell. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, after becoming a Christian, I became a fool. Because I knew what was right. And I chose to do what was wrong. When you know what's right and you choose to do wrong, that makes you a fool. You don't see that word fool in the Bible much. But it's when it's in there, it makes a good point. Foolish things. Acting foolish ways. Knowing better. You know, and again, got me in a lot of trouble. And again, I called on the Lord, and he got me out of that trouble each and every time. You know, every time I think about some of the foolish stuff I've done, and believe me, it's foolish, it makes me wonder, why would God do that? But he does it Why would he help me? Why would he get me out of this? But it's because of his love for me and for all of us. So when we choose to do foolish things that we know for a fact is going to go against God's word, that makes us a fool. And we need to understand that. Another thing that I'm thankful that the Lord gave me, which was I was just talking about, is prayer. God gave us the privilege of talking to him. God gave us the privilege of asking for his help, a privilege of just to talk to him in general. You know, sometimes when I'm at work and I'm by myself and I'm thinking and I'm worried about things, I talk to God. You know, sometimes when I'm sitting there by myself at home, I talk to God. We should be thankful that we can talk to the Father. You know, Jesus talked to the Father through prayer. And he taught us how to do it too. In Matthew's chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus said, "When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward." He said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." He's talking about sincere prayer. He's talking about coming to him sincerely. You know, some people sit up there, and they do it in places too. Long speeches, long prayers, just with many, many words. And all they're trying to do is show themselves. But the Lord tells us to do it with, you know, be humble when you pray. Come to him with humility. The Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. It means pray always to God. Always talk to him. He's always there. James 1 and 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Pray. Prayer. We should pray to God when we're thankful. We should pray to God when we're in need. We should pray to God when we're suffering. We should always pray to God. Always talk to him. Always let him know. And always be willing there to let him help us when we need his help. We should thank him always for his love and mercy. And he shows his greatest love for us by the sacrifice of his son. John, and this is a very familiar verse too, but it's always one that we need to remember. And it's very, very important. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God so loved us so much. Think of that sacrifice for 1 second. Think if it was one of your children, your only child, the only one you'll ever have. And you sacrificed my love. That's what our Lord did. He says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's how much God gave us everything. Left nothing out. Every single opportunity that we have God's word. We have prayer. We have his son Jesus, who died on the cross for us, to give us an opportunity to be with God one day. We have everything that we have in front of us. We should thank God for that. And Jesus came and lived as God wanted all to live, following His word, showing love and caring for all. Be an example, a light to the world. That's what Jesus was. You know, you won't read about Him breaking any laws in this book, not even Roman. You won't see Him contradicting anything that God asked or God wants done. And He did it in a perfect way. Not that we are perfect, but He did show us how we can defeat the devil, how we can please God, how we can love Him and one day be with Him. You know, Jesus came here knowing the suffering and the pain that He would go through. Think about it for a second. They talk about how crucifixion is one of the most cruel and one of the most, there's not too many other ways that you suffer more than crucifixion. Jesus knew all of this before He even came down here. And yet He did it. Why? Because He loves us. And He loves His Father and wanted to do His Father's will. But He loves us too. And we should understand that. And know that God is always been with us. God has always wanted the best for us, and we should give Him thanks. You know, I thank God for my family, and I thank God for a lot of other things, but without God, and that's why I put Him first, is because nothing else would exist without Him. And without His love, maybe we'd all be stumbling around in the dark. If God just created us and said, all right, I'm just going to see what they do. And see which ones please me and which ones don't. But He didn't do that, did He? He gave us this book. He gave us this roadmap, these instructions, everything that we should. And not only that, He gave us stories. We know about what happened to the Israelites. We know what happened to all of these people who did right with God, with God's word. And we know about them when they didn't. God's people. And we also know from God's people that just like Christians today, they wander off and they go astray. And hopefully, and God tries to give us all the time and the space to come back to Him before it's too late. You know, I don't understand everything that God does. I had a son that passed away this year. I had my boss, who was also my friend, he passed away this year suddenly. Both of them suddenly, without any much of a warning. I don't understand all that. But that doesn't shake my faith in God. My brother-in-law passed away this year. You know, it doesn't shake my faith with God. My sister has brain damage. It doesn't shake my faith. My daughter has lots of health problems. It doesn't shake my faith. You know, when it comes to death, God doesn't promise us that we're going to live forever. But He does promise that He will help us while we're living. And He is giving us every opportunity to be with Him one day. That's what we need to think about. Everybody has a day. Everybody has a time. We don't know what that is. But as long as we're loving the Lord and doing His will, we do know one thing, and that's His promise. And His promise is that those of us who do His will and stand by Him till the end, we'll be with Him one day in heaven. And I thank God for that, for giving us that opportunity and giving us that chance because of His great love for us. As far as I know, everybody here is a baptized member. But even if you weren't, and even if you are, it's always good to remember, hear God's word. Believe God's word. Repent. Repent. You know, we make mistakes. And sometimes we live, but we live with those mistakes until we learn better. But once we do learn better, we should repent of that and do better. That's what God wants us to do. Confess His name, confess His Son, and we've all been baptized, but live a Christian, God-fearing life is what God would want us to do. You know, I can't always I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us can. And that's one of the reasons why we should be trying to do everything God wants us to do today and to do it now. He's given us everything. We need to thank him and thank him so much for being God, because without him, there would be no rules, there would be no laws. I heard one preacher say one time, if there was no God, who was going to keep the earth, which is going around the sun at 63,000 miles an hour? What would keep the earth in check? What would keep all the asteroids from hitting us? What would keep a lot of the things that we don't understand from happening if we didn't have God? But we do have him. I hope this lesson helps any of us who may be in need. And if nothing else, just a reminder that we should be thanking God for everything. Because I know each and every one of us has probably come from some rough times. Each and every one of us has probably been on that other side, the sinful side, and done wrong things. And each and every one of us, from time to time, falls short. But we need to remember that God's love is still there for us. And all we have to do is ask him for forgiveness and do what's right, and he'll be right there for us. So think of these things, please, and meditate them on as we sing the song that was selected for the Savior's invitation.